Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Anne-Marie Roerink. She is principal for 210 Analytics in San Antonio, Texas, and best known as the author of The Power of Meat Study.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. You know, so much of what happens in the supermarket drives what eventually happens on the farm. What are you seeing in supermarkets these days? What are the consumer trends that pork producers and swine veterinarians need to be aware about?
You know, you're absolutely right. Even though a producer is so far removed ultimately from the shopper, it's really how the shopper votes with their wallet, what eventually we need to do as the pork producing industry. So what is happening at retail is that we for a long time had what I call, you know, the boomer shopper who loved meat, who could cook any kind of meat that the grocery stores were carrying. But more and more we have shoppers that are not as evolved and close to meat. They don't know much about it. They don't really understand the health properties of it or just how good of an eating experience meat or pork might provide. And so what is happening is that a lot of the consumers are maybe not trading entirely out of the meat category, but are starting to integrate some plant proteins. They're more and more just focusing on a very limited number of cuts and kinds that they're buying because they're afraid to venture out. So for the pork category, that means that we have just a danger that some of the what consumers perceive as harder to cook areas like roasts, ribs, they might start buying those a little bit less. And the category that's really benefiting from that is chicken. A lot of the millennial shoppers, the younger shoppers, are buying a whole lot more chicken. And as the pork industry, we just really need to figure out a way of what is making the future consumer tick and how we can really connect with them.
Well, and what are they looking for when it comes to pork? Because everybody loves bacon, of course.
Yep, absolutely.
Is the focus more on the processed pork products or is there an uptick in fresh pork purchases?
So what we're seeing is if you look at the entire retail pie for pork, it's about 20 billion. And when you divide that up, the vast chunk of that, I believe around 80% of it is processed. So there you have your bacon, your sausage. So that is very, very popular. And if you think about the preparation of that, there isn't a huge barrier to that. Now, if we look on the fresh side, it is a much, much smaller piece of it. The problem is when you look at the consumers across the U.S., they're only buying fresh pork 7 times a year, but they're in store 70 times a year, right? So only 1 in 10 trips to the store includes a fresh pork purchase. So I think as an industry, we have such an opportunity to try and pull people back into the cuts that really aren't that hard to make. From there, get them to like pork, not overcook pork, which I think is a big problem from a taste and tenderness point of view, and to really get them connected back in the fresh pork category.
And of course, there are a lot of labels that we see in the meat case these days: raised without antibiotics, no antibiotics ever, no hormones. What is resonating with consumers right now? Do they look for those labels? Do they understand what they mean?
Absolutely. What's baffling to me even that these kinds of labels are driving growth across all categories in the store. So even when you look at candy, for instance, you see that fair trade chocolate and organic and all these different transparency claims that look into the ingredient sourcing, into the production process, where people paid fairly. They're growing really categories across the store, and that includes meat. Now, part of that we have to be a little bit careful because when you have a small base, it's a lot easier to see these enormous growth percentages. And so when you look at organic, for instance, it's been growing double digits for many, many years. So it makes it easy to think, oh, everybody wants to buy organic. In reality, there is a lot of consumers who would like to buy some of the claims that you mentioned, but once they're confronted with the price differential, might not be able to. So there is a huge interest to understand more about the animal welfare, antibiotic-free, never ever antibiotic. Those are very hot claims. Consumers want to see more about it, but there is a big difference between the interest level and the actual purchasing of those areas. It's growing. But it's definitely something that only a select group of people can make room for in their budget. to actually purchase.
Now, in the past, the pork industry and other food animal industries have relied on science to try to make the case for using antibiotics judiciously to prevent, control, and treat disease. But it seems when you start talking about science and resistance and antibiotics and all of these other technical terms, that people just glaze over, don't they?
It's in a way amazing how shoppers want technology in every part of their lives. I think the latest stats is that we're on our cell phones and smartphones and computers like 5 hours a day. But when it comes to our food, all of a sudden a lot of consumers start rejecting technology. I think part of that is because we don't understand it. But you're absolutely right. So as far as the antibiotic issue is concerned, I think part of it is the term itself, antibiotic-free. When you look at it from a consumer who knows nothing about meat, they believe that means the animal never had antibiotic. I think another element of it is that in humans, the antibiotic resistance is something that doctors are bringing up more and more. So not knowing anything about meat, they assume that when an animal has had antibiotics, that will affect them through consumption. So there is absolutely a huge amount of confusion out there. And I'm a huge believer of this industry. Instead of pork fighting against chicken and chicken against beef, I think we have an opportunity as the meat industry all together to try and really provide some clarity to consumers relative to some of those areas.
Well, I know that our sponsor Zoetis did some market research a couple of years ago, and I won't get into all the details of the study, but basically it showed that if they provided if they surveyed people about whether or not they wanted antibiotics, the vast majority would say no.
Right.
But then when they provided a short, like 200 word narrative that these antibiotics are regulated by FDA, they're used under veterinary supervision, there are withdrawal times, basically there's no antibiotics in any of the meat that gets to the market, then suddenly they did a 180 and their perceptions changed. What does that tell you as far as educating consumers about responsible antibiotic use? What does the industry need to do?
Well, I think those numbers are dead on. It's exactly what I see in my research as well. The problem is at the point of purchase, so when the consumer is in the store, that's really when they start interacting with our product, and we have about 5 seconds. And typically that time is spent rifling through the packages to find a price point that they like to buy best. So even though we've gotten very, very good about our much more enticing labels and maybe signage up on the case, at the end of the day, there's only a certain percentage of shoppers that really goes and researches. At the same time, if you look on the other side of the table, the activism has been able to use social media and a lot of different media techniques to really get their message out. And I just think as our industry, we have to do a much better job to kind of counteract that and really tell the story, as you say, about it is better for the animal. What do you want the animal to suffer then? Is that what you want? Like, animals sometimes get sick, just like humans get sick. And so the problem is finding a way to connect with the consumer on that when they're actually listening. And I believe some of the answers to that is just the cadence of repeating that as an industry and really across all the different proteins, and continuing to bring up that animal welfare is something we all care about. Whether you are a producer, a retailer, or a consumer, nobody would argue that, you know, we all want to treat our animals the best way possible.
One final question. You brought up social media, and that's a powerful medium, but there's a lot of misinformation
Absolutely.
Out there, and it may come from people you don't know. It may come from Aunt Judy. It can come from a lot of different sources. What should pork producers and veterinarians be doing on social media to try to communicate with customers? Is there a place for that?
Oh, absolutely. Consumers love farmers and they trust farmers. And I think, you know, again, if you think about the whole distribution chain, the retailers, the consumers, they want to hear from the farmers. So having a website that, that shows your farm and shows how the family has been on the farm for a long time, how, you know, antibiotic use really plays out in reality. Even come to the stores. I mean, some of the smaller brands, they will set up a little booth in the store and talk about their families and their farms. And I believe there is a huge opportunity to leverage social media in a much more positive way. Then unfortunately it often plays out to be, because really the only times we tend to hear on social media is during recalls or during the whole antibiotic debate. And I think people want pork that is produced in the US. They want all these positive attributes. So it's really up to us as an industry to bring those forward and talk about them.
Okay, well, some very powerful suggestions from the author of The Power of Meat, Anne-Marie Roerink. She's a principal at 210 Analytics. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.